A Miracle on 34th Street. How many of y'all have seen that? Okay, so most of you know the premise of the movie. In it, a little girl by the name of Susan has been taught by her mother to only believe in things that are reasonable. But when a jolly old man by the name of Kris Kringle enters their life, their reason and logic are challenged as never before, especially when Kris Kringle says that he is the real Santa Claus. And when Kris is put on trial for claiming to be Santa Claus, Susan's mother's boyfriend, Fred, who just happens to be a lawyer, volunteers to defend Kris Kringle and says that he will prove in court that Kris Kringle really is Santa Claus. And that's much to the dismay of the family, which believes only in common sense and logic. Now, Miracle on 34th Street raises an important question for you and I. How can we put aside logic and reason to believe in something or someone who is difficult, if not impossible, scientifically speaking, to believe in? Just for example, from a scientific viewpoint, and I hope there are no children in here this morning, but from a scientific viewpoint, I want you to consider what we adults ask our children to believe when we talk about Santa Claus. Around the world live approximately 2 billion children. Now, if you assume for a moment that Santa Claus does not visit the children of those religions who don't believe in him, that leaves approximately 378 million children that Santa Claus is going to visit. Now, if you also assume that the average family has 3.5 children in this group, which is a little high, that means that Santa must visit 108 million homes in 31 different time zones around the world on Christmas Eve. In other words, he has to visit 967 homes per second. That means Santa has 1/1000th of a second to park his sleigh on the roof, to jump down the chimney, if you happen to have one, to fill up the stockings, to eat any snacks that have been prepared for him, go back up the chimney, get back in the sleigh, and fly his reindeer to the next house, all in less than 1/1000th of a second. Now, furthermore, if each child only gets one toy that weighs 2 pounds, that means Santa's sleigh is carrying over 500,000 tons of presents. Now, on land, one reindeer can pull up to 300 pounds. Now, assuming that a flying reindeer, because there's lack of resistance on land, and so that you can pull more, say a flying reindeer can pull 10 times that much, or 3,000 pounds, that means that Santa needs 360,000 reindeer to pull his sled. Now, those have to be awful tiny reindeer to fit on our roof, right? Now, based solely on scientific reason, how can anyone teach our children that Santa Claus happens? But here's the thing. For Christians to be asked to believe in Santa Claus pales in comparison to what we are asked to believe about Jesus. I want you to consider some scriptures, and I want you to listen to them as if you were hearing them for the very first time. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is what we are asked to believe about Jesus. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do, and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and they gave him the name Jesus. Now, we find many miracles in the Bible, evidence so outside our scientific understanding that they can only be believed by faith. For example, consider the creation story as found in the book of Genesis. God says the entire world was spoken into existence in a period of 6 days. And while there are many things that we can believe about this, there are many things that science raises up to say, there's no way this took place. Or how about the Red Sea dividing in two so that the Israelites could cross? That's a pretty amazing miracle. You've been around some of these large rivers like the Mississippi. What would it take to stop that and to literally pile it up? Of course, there's an anecdotal story about the miracle of the Red Sea. Josh McDowell was a very famous apologetic, what means that he would go on campuses, on college campuses, and he would defend the Christian faith, and often in a debate. The person that was opposing Christianity said that this entire incident where the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea was all based on a misunderstanding, because there was a few miles away there was what called the Reed Sea, R-E-E-D, and that where they transported across had really taken place in the Reed Sea, but over time they dropped one of the E's, and that's why they said it was the Red Sea. And all the time that this man is just trying to destroy the Christian faith, saying, if this couldn't take place, then neither could anything else in the Bible, Josh McDowell's getting more and more excited. He's going, really? Wow! Awesome! During this whole person's presentation, and finally the person says, you don't understand, I am destroying everything you believe in, and you're excited about that? And Josh McDowell's, no, you don't understand. Man, what a miracle! The entire Egyptian army and all of their horses were drowned in 6 inches of water. Often when we try to do away with the miracle, we're forced to come up with a story that's even more. One of the greatest miracles recorded in Scripture has to have been the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Many of us have seen stories on TV where we've read about when a person comes back from the dead after they've been dead for a few minutes. And the doctors miraculously, we use the word miraculously, they do what they do with technology, and all of a sudden the person is coming back. Come back from death after 3 days, especially with hurt and the physical torture that Jesus did. But of all the miracles recorded in the Bible, the most important miracle, and perhaps the hardest for all of us to believe, is found in Matthew 1, where Matthew says a virgin became pregnant because the Holy Spirit caused a baby to be conceived within her womb. In theological terms, this is called the miracle of incarnation, that God became a man just like you and I. John explains the miracle of the incarnation to us in John 1, where he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you go on to verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And the end result of the miracle of incarnation is seen in John 1:18, where John says, "No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made himself known to us." C.S. Lewis, who is perhaps one of the greatest theologians ever, said the birth of Jesus is the greatest miracle in the Bible. And when asked to explain why, he said, "Every other miracle in the Bible either prepares for this miracle of incarnation or stems from it. This miracle," he says, "is the entire event of the whole Christian story, everything the Bible talks about." Larry King, who is a well-known late-night talk show host, even though it's a little bit later generation, was once a guest on The Late Show with David Letterman. At one point in the discussion, Letterman turned to Larry King and said, "If you could interview any person from history, who would you choose?" And Letterman was very surprised when Larry King responded without hesitation, "I would interview Jesus Christ." Not expecting that, Letterman then said, "What would you ask him?" Larry King said, and remember, this is a person who had nothing to do with Christ. Larry King said, "I would ask him if he was really born of a virgin, because that answer defines all of history." Think about it. Whether it's the Apostle John, or C.S. Lewis, or someone like Larry King, it's evident that people will say that this is the most important event in human history. The miracle of incarnation, Jesus Christ being born of a virgin. Now, why is this so important? Because only this miracle explains why someone who is both Son of God and Son of Man can grow up on this earth and do the things that no one else has ever done. Only this miracle in the incarnation explains why the same child who was laid in the manger would grow up to be the Jesus who would walk on water, who would help the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, and many other miracles. Only the miracle of incarnation explains why Christ could feed over 5,000 people with a handful. The miracle of incarnation explains why Christ could bring back the dead from life, why he could throw demons out of people, while he could heal lepers with just a few words. And only the miracle of incarnation explains why Christ could defeat death itself by one day rising from that grave. And only the miracle of incarnation explains why God and God alone is the one who promises to one day come back to this earth and reunite all of his believers with his Father. In essence, everything that Jesus went on to do and to be begins with this miracle of incarnation. The result, as Hebrews 4:15 tells us, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Now here's the important point about the miracle of incarnation for you and I. If Jesus was born of a virgin, and he was, if he could perform all of the miracles which he did, if Jesus can understand us as no other person ever could, because of his own experiences as a human on earth, then what problem do we have in our life right now that Jesus is incapable of dealing with? Then what problem do we have in our life right now that Jesus is incapable of dealing with? See, Christmas is more than about friends and presents and parties. Christmas is God's way of showing us that He loves for us and He cares for us
and He takes care of us more than we can possibly know. It's His way of showing that He can help us overcome any problem we have right now or we will have in the future. Now, how can I say this? Because of two additional miracles that the miracle of incarnation goes on to result in. The first of those is what we might call the miracle of innocence, as seen in Matthew 1:21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus literally means to save. His very name shows why Jesus is born. He came to save us from our sins. And 30 years later, Jesus did just that when he died on the cross as a result of the punishment of all the sins of the world. The result is that anyone who embraces Jesus as their Lord and say, you are not guilty of your sin. But if you flip those words around, he is saying, you are innocent from your sin. Now, why is that miracle of innocence so important for you and I? Because innocence is the one thing on this earth that Christians have that non-Christians will never have. Christians can succeed in business, but so can non-Christians. Christians can have great marriages and raise great kids, but so can non-Christians. Christians can have great health, but so can non-Christians. The only thing that makes a believer different than the unbeliever around us is that through the blood of Jesus Christ, God sees us as innocent of our sins. And thus, we are able to come into that relationship with Him and continue in that relationship with Him. Innocent. I don't think we've ever thought about the dynamic importance of that word. It relates to the word justification, which could be simply defined as just as if I never sinned. When Jesus looks upon us right now, He doesn't see us as we see ourselves. For so often, when we see ourselves, we see our failures, we see our mistakes, we see our limitations, we see those things which hinder us and prevent us. But when Jesus looks at us, He sees that child that we are holding for the first time in our arms, completely innocent and completely beautiful. And no matter what is not, we are still innocent. That's a gift we enjoy, not just for a few days of Christmas, but every day in our life and in Jesus. The third miracle we see is seen in Matthew 1:23. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus' birth in this world was God's way of telling us, I'm not going to be that far-off God who sits on a throne and has nothing to do with you. I'm going to be that personal, caring, loving God who actually lives inside of you, which we call the miracle of indwelling. You see, Jesus did many miracles that He on this earth, and we've already defined a lot of them. But here's the point. None of us were around to see those miracles. None of us could truly grasp what they are all about. And that's why we can all be thankful for that second gift that Jesus gives us in John 14:16-26. And I'll ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. But that counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said. Incarnation leads to innocence, which leads to the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit within each one of us. Literally, God puts a part of Himself within us, and that's why we are able to live that life that we can live for Him. That's why we have that conscience. That's why we are drawn to God. That's why He answers us in prayer, because we are literally praying to Him You see, the miracle of indwelling ultimately shows that while God cares for us, He wants to change each one of us into Himself. How Christ does so is beautifully seen in a story that Bret Hart wrote entitled The Luck of Roaring Camp. Roaring Camp was a California gold mine in the 1800s, and it was described as the roughest, the meanest gold camp of all the gold camps around. It was a horrible place to live. It was inhabited by about 3,000 men and one Cherokee Indian prostitute by the name of Sal. Short for Sal. She would be with many of the men every night. And after 1 year in town, she got pregnant and she gave birth to a son. Well, no one in Roaring Camp knew who the father of that child was. So they decided that they would all adopt this little boy as their son. The first, what they did, because they're men, they do what men do, they just laid that baby boy in a box filled with dirty, oily rags from the gold mine. One of the miners didn't think that was very appropriate for a baby, so he rode 8 miles one way Rosewood cradle for the baby boy. That helped, but the baby was still wrapped in filthy rags. So another miner rode to Sacramento, and they bought some silk blankets and brought back for that baby. Someone else said that baby boy wasn't safe in that dirty mining office, so they scrubbed the walls and they cleaned everything until it was literally gleaming and spotless. Over time, they went out and they cleaned the outside of the windows and they cleaned the porch. They even bought some curtains and began to dress the place up. One night over dinner, one of the bars, the miners were talking, because now that little boy is starting to get a little bit older. And they said they're going to have to start watching their language around this boy. And so they began to clean themselves up, and they began to clean their life up, they began to clean their language up every time they were around this boy. Passers-by who were going through the town began to notice that those rough miners were bathing more often, and they were even shaving more often. And the town was becoming safe enough for other women to move into the town. And soon, many of the miners find themselves getting married and raising families of their own. Many years later, it was a peaceful summer night, when two of the old-timers who had been there when Cherokee Sal got pregnant, that baby was born, they're reminiscing about the old days. And they said, you know, birth that baby changed our lives. Because one baby changed a mining camp. In that same way, even more, the birth of people changed our lives. Not all of them. But God says that through the miracle of indwelling, is Christ lives in you. He wants to move inside of us and from the inside out so that we can change the world as a result of the God. The miracle of incarnation. We talk a lot about the gifts that we are going to give one another this year. But let me tell you, the greatest gift that we give ever has already been given. Father, we thank you for your word and the power of your word. Even those words which we've heard hundreds of times, thousands of times at this time of the year. Thank you. Yes. Take pregnancy. through the Holy Spirit that Christ was conceived in you. Born. Father, may those words when we see all the beauty of the through the birth of your Son, we ask this. The miracle of incarnation leads to the miracle none of those and then on Christmas morning, your loved one looked at that gift and said, "Oh, what a beautiful gift. This is so awesome. Thank you." And then they put it aside. Open up lesser gifts without ever opening that one special. Jesus has done everything he can for us. He is that great. But if we choose, never accept the greater King. Made him your Lord and Savior. That's the Jesus. We're going to be singing a song of invitation. If you have that desire to learn more about Jesus Christ in your life, if you have that desire to learn more about him, you can be a part of the church. I encourage you to come forward and stand and say, "Are you?" And stand with